Well, as we heard in our scriptures, and as you know, the story of Moses begins in Exodus. And the Israelites have been in Egypt for a long, long time. If you remember the story of Joseph being sold by his brothers, and then there's a great famine, then his brothers come and they're rescued from the famine, then they settle in Egypt for a long time. After a long time, they go from being residents to being slaves. And it's a very tough time for the people of Israel. And in fact, Pharaoh is worried about how many Israelites are being born. So he said, hey, you can't have any more children. Throw your little baby boys away. They're going to be killed. And baby Moses was put in the basket and goes down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him and raises him. And everything seems like it's going well. And then he sees an Egyptian beating a fellow Hebrew, and he's about 40 years old at this time, and he ends up killing the Egyptian. Didn't think anybody saw it. And later, when he confronts two Hebrews who were in a fight, they yell back at him, oh yeah, you're going to treat us like you treated that Egyptian? And he said, uh-oh, somebody knows I killed somebody. And he leaves, and he runs. And then he goes to another land, and while he's there, he sees some ladies going to a well, and they're being attacked and hounded by some people, and Moses becomes their hero. He marries one of the ladies. He becomes a sheep herder. He has a family, and he thinks this is his new life. And out of nowhere, God speaks to him in a burning bush. And here we get Moses' very first excuse, and we find out that he's very reluctant to be God's leader. From Exodus 3, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses says, who am I? Don't you remember that I really messed things up? The Egyptians and the Hebrews hate me. Come on, God, I've got a life here as a sheep herder. I've got a family, and that's all I'm going to be. But God doesn't accept that answer. And we see in verse 12, God says, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And even after God says, I will be with you, we see Moses is still hesitant. He says, okay, God, who's going to believe me? What shall I tell them? And the Lord tells him, go boldly and proclaim that is the God who is God, says he is. Say, I am the God, the one God, the creator God, the almighty, the Lord of lords, the eternal God. Now go to them. And then God goes on to promise Moses that not only will the people listen to him, he says that I'm going to do a whole bunch of mighty acts. And one of the first acts was making the Egyptians like the Israelites so much that when any of the Israelite women ask an Egyptian for gold or silver, that the Egyptians will just give it to them. And so that way the Israelites will have all this gold and silver accumulated when they leave, so they won't leave poor. But Moses is still reluctant. In Exodus 4, Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" I mean, this guy's having a direct conversation with God, and he has doubts. In Exodus 4, then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." And then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs and listen to you, take some water from the Nile, pour it onto the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Now, God just showed Moses two miracles right before his eyes and promised Moses a third miracle. And Moses is still reluctant. In Exodus 4, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Can you believe this? If I could change a stick into a snake and a snake back into a stick, or if I could put my hand from normal to leprosy and back again, I think God would have my attention at that time. But I do have a little feeling for Moses because I have a really bad speech impediment. And most of you may not know that. Every Sunday morning, I have to read the Lord's Prayer or I will mess it up every time. At home, especially late at night, you'll hear me stutter and stammer from time to time. And my son points out every week, "Right, Ethan? You know you said this word backward, this phrase backwards. You did this wrong and you said that wrong." And if I talk off the cuff, you'll know when I'm not reading from my script because I start to reach for words. So I feel for Moses. It's not easy to get up in front of people when you have a speech impediment. But in Exodus 4, the Lord said, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if it was your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it." You know, the Lord gets angry with our excuses. How many of you give God lots of excuses? If you don't have your hand up, you might be feeling some anger later. But when will we ever learn that if God calls us, if God nudges us, if God pushes us to do something, that God will provide? And we must remember, God's plan may not be to our liking. You see, as a part of God's plans, first he had the Egyptians' hearts favor the Israelites so they could take all the gold. But then he changed the Egyptians' hearts again back to make the Israelites work even harder. And the plan wasn't going like Moses wanted. But you see, God was orchestrating what needed to happen. He had to make these events happen, even if it was difficult for them. And Moses doubts God's plan again in Exodus 6. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips?" This time and one more time, Moses is reluctant. And finally in Exodus 7, then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and the mighty acts of judgment I will bring out of my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." And finally, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. God did everything he said he was going to do. He brings plagues. He brings judgment and death to the Egyptians. He parts the Red Sea. We see and hear a series of miracle after miracle after miracle. And not just in this story, but our Bible is full of miracles. We see God acting time and time again. And even since the time of Jesus, the church has seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Yet so many of us lack faith. Jesus tells this parable from Luke. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Then the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." Verse 27, and somehow my slides are missing. So give me 1 second, and I'm going to switch over. One second, let me get back to where I'm supposed to be. Technical difficulties. Uh-oh. Give me 1 second. Ethan, can bring me the copy. My apologies. It is not working well today. Look at that. He's got it right in the right place. Verse 27, he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, would you send Lazarus to my family? For I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, They will not be convinced if someone rises from the dead. You see, Lazarus said, "Hey, I'm sorry I didn't believe all of this before. Go to my family, send him back from the dead, let him appear as a ghost, whatever it is, but please tell them the truth. Don't let them go to hell like I went to hell. Please tell them." And Abraham says to him, "Look, if they don't believe everything that's already in the Bible, do you think one more thing will really convince them?" Now think about it. How much more proof do we need today? Not only do we have all of the Old Testament, we have all of the New Testament, we have all of church history. And Jesus is telling us through this parable that if we don't believe all the things that God has already done, how will we believe even more if there's just one more miracle, just one more thing? God, give me just one more sign and I'll really believe. You see, God has a calling for each of us. God will lead us and guide us along the way if we will just simply be obedient. Faith requires us to believe in our hearts. Faith means we trust in God. Faith means we surrender. Faith means we answer when God calls, and we have faith in God even when things seem overwhelming. And the question today is, what kind of faith do you have? Do you have faith that God can use you? Do you have faith that God can use this church? Do you have faith that God can use us to overcome all the things in front of us? Overcome a pandemic, overcome a country divided, overcome whatever struggles that you have, overcome whatever disabilities you might have. Because despite whatever disabilities or shortcomings or whatever you have, if God is calling you, God will provide a way. And I think it's time that we as a church get down on our knees, that we beg God for forgiveness for not following him, that we ask God to lead us and guide us, that we are willing servants to go where he has called us and how he has called us, and not just to go bashfully, but to go and boldly proclaim that our God is the God, the creator of the world, the creator of the universe. And that without hesitation and without fear, we go out and we serve this world and we share the great love of Jesus Christ. But to do that, we need to have faith. We need to see how God provided for Moses. We need to see how God rescued Daniel. We need to see how God used Jesus and a couple of fish and loaves to feed 5,000. We need to see that we serve a God who can raise the dead. We need to see and have the faith that God, Jesus Christ himself, walked out of the tomb and that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he has promised to come back, and he has promised victory. He has promised us an eternal home. And through all of that, we need to know without a doubt that a God is a God of keeping promises, that our God will lead us and guide us, that our God will never steer us wrong, and that at times it will be difficult, at times it will be hard, at times we will not understand why is God allowing this to happen. But when we are faithful, God will orchestrate events to make his will happen. But we must be a faithful people. Will you join me? Will you be a part of what God has for us in 2021? Let us be faithful and willing servants of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Moses. And we see time and time again that he was reluctant. But when he went and was obedient, we see how you came through just as you promised. How you provided words when he needed words. You provided solutions when he needed solutions. And you provided great and mighty signs so that all people would know that you are God. And just as you promised, your people left captivity and left for freedom. and you guided them and you protected them. Lord, lead us and guide us. And Lord, let us not wander for 40 years. Let us not be doubtful. Let us not turn back. Let us not want to go back to our old ways. But lead us and guide us to be faithful. Lead us and guide us to be your people. Lead us and guide us to do great things in your name. All of this we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Following God is not a promise that everything is going to go the way you want them. Following God means sometimes we are going to face difficult circumstances. But following God means we have faith in God that He will deliver us through those circumstances. Faith in God that He will give us what we need when we need it to carry us through that. Each of us have something that's holding us back. Each of us have doubts and fears and reluctance. But so did Moses. Moses said, I did some horrible things in my past. Moses says, I'm already kind of old. I'm 40. I've already got a family. You want me to do what? He said, I don't speak well. People aren't going to listen to me. This is going to be hard, God. And God said, I got this. We're going to do this. And if you do what I say and do it the way I say it, it's going to come out. It's going to be good on the other side. I promise you. But we also saw that God gets angry. God will correct us and God will punish us when we're not faithful. So let us turn to God. Let us be faithful. Let us join together and go and do great things for God. Let us be a good and faithful people. And let us always go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.